Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Hey, just a shout out to all of you that are listening online. That loud noise that you hear, it's called fellowship. And this room, it's like herding cats. So I appreciate how well-behaved the online people are. So, I don't want to know. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Rule number one, never get on stage with gum. Here. Giving away my notes at the end of the day today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? What's better? Pastor Scott, it feels like a trick question. I'm really scared to answer right now because I'm afraid I'll put my foot in my mouth. What's better, being in the house of the Lord? We'll get to that. How about one of the things, just a suggestion, adding to the house of the Lord. Is that better than being in the house of the Lord? You ready for some additions? Ladies and gentlemen, congratulate the Arcieri's. Here we are. Ellie, Lisa, Tran. January 3rd, she's like 8 days older than that now, so she's already 2 feet tall walking and talking, right? So Dave and Lisa, congratulations. We have another no-no in the house, right? That's the name for, that's the Italian name for grandpa, because grandpa runs around the grandkid going, no-no. So congratulations to them. And then missionary we support, Vonwick Maseko and his wife, Ricky. There she is in Malawi, Africa. That is Sarai Simi Maseko, born just a few days ago. I'm supposed to remember that because they're family. Whoops. we just got that just a couple days ago. So very excited. And every crowd's better when you get two more ladies, right? Yeah. So congratulations to them, and continue prayers, and may the Lord bless them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. We are continuing our series in the book of Luke that we just started last week. Congratulations. You're here for number two right at the beginning. If you missed last week, it's online, YouTube or podcast at rockbiblechurch.com. We never mention that, but today's the day. And welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling, casual community. And we're compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship, being a community that serves the greater community. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that later today after service when we do family meeting. And look at big picture and have a little fun, okay? No bad news. That's my promise, okay? All fun, okay? Kind of like the Bears last night, Larry. Did anybody turn it off?
No.
It was just our family turned it off and went to dinner. Yeah, it's over. Yeah. And then the kids are like, wait a minute. So we turned it on and rewound it and watched the last 6 minutes. It was kind of fun. What time do the Raiders play today? Who are they? Right. There is some other game later this afternoon. I have no idea what it is, but we'll see. That game is not for the birds. So console the McGrogans. It was a rough night last night for them. Or poor Packers. Shareholders. It's okay. They get plenty of time off now. We're going to have some fun in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 and following. We're going to get two songs poetry out of it. We're going to do some comparing and contrasting on what does it mean, what does it look like to be blessed. It's very similar to what we talked about last week, the idea of impossible favor. When you get favor, how do you find it? This week we're going to look at finding blessing, because this is the continuation of the story of both Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then Mary and Joseph, where we're going to see prophecy fulfilled, and we're going to see it actually happen. And then we're going to look into some names of God. I promised that last week. We started looking at, there's a chart this week, a visual. Oh no, Scott's changing. Before we do, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for our time together. We are grateful when you sustain your house, when you protect your house, your people, and when you grow it. We're so grateful for these two kids, yours. We entrust them to you. And we entrust this time, Lord, as we look at your word. You tell us to never neglect the public reading of Scripture. And that's what we're going to do. I pray it would be a blessing to us, that we might understand how you bless and how blessing works. And we thank you that we're even here, the blessing of even being here still, to be able to hear this and grow. Pray it changes us, guided by your Spirit, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's fly, because we got 40 plus verses. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Here we go. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Now, what do we know about Elizabeth and Mary both? They're pregnant right now, okay? They had to travel. Pack up the pack and play, the car seat, the stroller, the diaper bag. You ever traveled with kids?
Yep.
It was much easier back then. Dripping sarcasm. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby in her womb leaped. We know, what's his name?
John.
John's jumping for joy and hasn't even been born yet. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." What's the word that's used twice there?
Blessed.
Here, a little hint, just a little extra. If you ever have to preach, it's really easy. Find the words that are repeated and run with it, because they're probably repeated for a reason. God wants us to see them. Why is she blessed? Let's find out. Verse 43. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Mother of my
Lord.
My curious. Are you curious what that word is? Curious about curios? That's the Greek word for that name. We're going to get our chart later, I know. I promise. And I'm making you wait. But verse 68. That's when we're going to hit it, okay? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And
blessed
or blessed, which one is it? I actually got that phone call. Hey, I was reading the Bible. It said blessed. Is that blessed or blessed? I was like, oh, do you have 2 hours? Because if we're going to explain this, it's going to take a really long time. No, which one is it? It's both. It's either. Is this a primary issue?
No.
But we do want to know what blessing is. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Get out your outlines, pull it out. You'll understand why now we're talking about blessing and how do we find it. But what's the verse? What's the verse there at the top of your outline? Verse 45, we just read it, right? Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. What's maybe the best part of this passage? That it was fulfilled. It actually happened. One of God who comes through, does what he says what he does, right? We're going to get to that. Don't do it, Nate. Don't. We're not at 68 yet. Back to 46. Here we go. And Mary said, after this comes to fruition, right? All this all plays out. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She changes names there, doesn't she? She says, Lord. Then she says, God, God being theos, God being this representation of the Hebrew word Elohim, the powerful creator. Like, tremble when you're around him because it has to go well or you're not here anymore. And what does she say? My spirit rejoices in him. Why would you rejoice in a creator if you're Mary in this scenario? Because what did he just do? He just created? She getting the names right? Yeah. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. 54, there we go. And the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Amen. This is like almost like a prayer, but it's a song, but it's a poem. Which one is it? It's all of the above, right? I want you to get the feel of what something, a subtlety that's going on here. We're talking about this creator, this almighty, powerful Elohim, right? Power of God. And yet, what does she say about him being like almost soft, almost tender, right? Can we go back, Nate? Can we go back a screen? His, what's that third word?
Mercy.
Wait, we're talking about the powerful creator. Like, oh, he's going to make mountains shift and we're going to tear down countries to get in our way and the whole thing. But then she pairs him with mercy, right? And he has looked on the humble, the obedient, those that believe, shows his strength, but he uses his strength for protection. It's wonderful, right? Provision, giving good things to the hungry. All right, let's go back. Nate, I want to ask a question. You ever recognized his work in your life to the extent that you wanted to break out into song? We got a grandkid. Write a song. You know, it used to be that they would write songs about stuff, right? Now what do? Oh, let me search, see if there's a song about that. Let's play. I know people who write out prayers word for word. Why would you do that? Can I just pray and get it over with? Yeah, guess what happens when you write out a prayer? Guess what you can't do? You can't just get over with, right? It takes a little time, right? You got to fix the stuff you misspell. If you're like me, oh, wait, that's not legible. I got to rewrite it. Wait, do I want to say it that way? What is that exercise? Connectivity? What else?
Intentionality.
Intentional? How about devotional? How about prayer? How about time with the Lord? When you're quiet, nobody's around, and you're thinking, what are words for that? maybe somber. Could be rejoice. At the very least, it's time with who? Yeah. Or the Lord. Or the Lord God. Or God Most High. It's a great exercise. There's ways to do it today, right? You'll mostly travel in cars with the technology, and you can push a button and you can listen to something, right? You ever do that with worship music, Christian music? I tend to do it with secular music from time to time, you know what I mean? I could probably use a little more of God music in my life. Or some of you have an app on your phone where you can look up Luke chapter 2, push play, and some cool accented voice reads it to you as you're driving down the road, right? It'll get me off of criticizing all the other drivers on the road, right? Complain about whoever took my parking spot I thought I was going to get, whatever. But Mary sets us a great example, does she not? It's probably just a one-off though, right? She's unique. Nope, here it comes, number two. Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Why? Because Elizabeth was 6 months and add three, what's that? Nine, I'm about to have a baby, you need to get out of here. Love that. Next slide, Nate. And now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. They would have called him Zachariah after his father because they didn't know what to name him. Why didn't they know what to name him? Remember what's going on with Zachariah right now from last week? He's a mute. He didn't believe the angel when Gabriel said, hey, this is going to happen. He's like, nah, how could that happen? He said, oh, it's going to happen. But see, you did it to yourself. Now you got to be mute till the baby's born. Right? Except for the baby's born. We're 8 days in. He still can't talk. Why? Gabriel. Did Gabriel get it wrong? All right, we're going to solve this right now. We're going to fix the mystery. They didn't know what to call him. They were going to call him Zachariah after his father, verse 60. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called because the best kids are. Right? Technically, my first name is John. Did you know that?
Yes.
No, okay. So they're going to call him John. Why would they call him John? Soccer voice?
God said.
Angel said that God said. Right? Yeah. And somehow she figured it out. Him being mute this whole 9 months or whatever, somehow he must have wrote it down somewhere. Was he writing things down? Yeah, we're going to know that's true because he's about to write something down. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open, his tongue loose, and he spoke. Why all of a sudden did he get to open his mouth and be verbal again, no longer mute? Because we finally got through all of the prophecy that the angel had said. This is what you're going to do. And when he's born, then you're going to name him. Name him on the first day? Why'd you wait 8 days? I mean, I know it's tradition. We wait till the circumcision, then we formally present him and the whole thing. I'd have named him the first day just because I like to talk. Anybody noticed? God fulfills what he says he's going to do. And this has got to be a life-altering experience for John. For Zachariah, I'm sorry. And all of a sudden, he can speak. What's the first thing he does? Blessing God. He blesses God. First opportunity to say, I probably would have said something dumb like, well, I'm glad you finally listened to me and named him John. I got to write things down for everybody, you know, Grumpy Scott. He says, no, I'm gonna praise God. First response, his default is God. and not complaining to him, not asking him for stuff, but saying thank you. What a great lesson. How often do we thank him? I tend to look at the stuff I've missed out on or I'm still waiting for, and then I get a little grumpy and complain. And I wonder if God says, oh, man, I gotta make you mute in an area, or I'm gonna make you wait a little longer, 8 more days, 9 more months, until we're gonna play this out, because you gotta get something right. Right? Love that we have two different people break into song. Here it comes. Blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, here starts the second song. Must be common. Right? Hey, Larry, did you write a song last night about the bears? No? Oh, they already have a song. Yeah, okay. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Wait, can we go back for a split second there? Blessed be the who? What's the name? Lord God. We just changed names again. This Luke guy, he must be totally confused. Or Zechariah. Blessed is Yahweh Elohim. Lord and God. Combo. Why would he say it that way? Why would you get more than one name in there? Right? This is kind of like, not really, it's kind of like when the kid gets in trouble and you're like, John Frederick Berglund, get over here. Right? Why would you use multiple names? For emphasis. What's the emphasis? Using Elohim and Yahweh together. What are we trying to get? We're trying to get the whole. All of him. What he thinks, what he likes, his heart, what he does, what he's planned, what he has skipped. All of it. We're witnessing Zechariah come to hook, line, and sinker. I'm buying the whole thing. Love that. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Wow, isn't that awesome? Wait, he's not talking about John anymore? John, born of Elizabeth with Zechariah, not house of David, house of Levi or Levi. I figured out. I have two people in my family, extended family, named Levi or Levi. One's Levi and one's Levi. And can't you guys just agree? If his kid is house of Levi or Levi, why is he saying house of the servant David? Is he praising more than his own kid? Please follow that example. Because life is more than just your own kids. Amen. I love that he gets beyond this. This is really like the first time I've noticed this. I'm 15 years old, and I've read this so many times, and it pops out to me. Wait. In the house of his servant David. That's not John. That's Jesus. The miracle in his own life with his wife for his son, of who was called barren, now is extending beyond his own family. He's starting to see it other places. He's starting to recognize God's work in other people. That's called contagion. It spreads like a virus if you let it. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophet from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. I love this. This has been talked about forever, and he's referencing this mercy that I pointed out earlier. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Does it say that we might be best or most important or get everything we want? No, no, no. Does it say that we might be comfortable without fear? Happy? Easy? Does it say healthy? No. Gets one of those terrible words. Wait, I gotta go to work? I have to serve now? I don't know if I like this deal. Is that his attitude? No. No, he's like, wait a minute. God's in charge of all of it, and I want to be part of all. I get to be involved in all of it. And he gets excited. He swore to us that we might serve him without fear. Man, this is one of the things we need in this generation, right now, today. We are freaked out about way too much stuff, right? Too many infomercials. Afraid of what might happen. We're anxious about things that have yet to happen. Slimmest possibility. You know, if you take this, your arm might fall off and you'll go blind. And you know all the disclaimers they give on the infomercials? I listen to those things and go, I'm not taking that. There's a 1% chance that I'd die like a couple seconds later or something. There's none of that with the Lord. And yet, we act like he's an infomercial. Man, if I buy in, he's going to take away all my fun. I'm going to have to settle for somebody less when I get married, and I have to settle for a lesser job. And boy, I can't be rich because it talks poorly about rich people, and I can't this and I can't that. And I got to serve, be nice. Got to love my, I hate my neighbors. Oh, I got to love them. And we feel like God's going to give us like a C plus experience. No. Folks, it's just like math class. It's just like math class, okay? Now, I'm not talking about English class or government class or history class. We got to write an essay, and it just kind of depends on how the teacher thinks about how he wrote it and if you've fluffed it up enough. And no, math is math. You either got it right or you got it wrong. And how do you get it right? You do the work. Do the work, and then you can get a 99 on the test. Even better, when your buddy Tim is like, hey, I got a 95. What'd you get? You can say, I got triple digits. Is that good? Because you do the homework. You do the work. That is the relationship with God. Tender mercy to those that believe, those that follow his commands. Do the stuff. These two people both did that. And what are they experiencing? Do they look unhappy? They're so happy they're writing songs. They're happier than Larry. This is hard to do. Right? In holiness and in righteousness before him when we're comfortable. Just on Sundays when Scott leads us through it. No. All our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Now he's talking about his son, John. And we're referencing another name. Which is weird. Because he's been using names of God. Now he's talking about Jesus, but he uses one of those names of God, which means Zechariah is clear in his head. Jesus is God, Lord, Most High. Verse 77. Here we go. Four more left. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Wait a minute. I thought it was to like free us from the Romans and the Maccabees, the Seleucids, or I don't know. There's so many different ones. They got taken over by everybody. No. Zechariah gives it right there. This is the purpose of Jesus. Forgiveness of sins. That's right there. Because of the tender mercy. I used tender earlier, right? It was a precursor because I knew we were coming to this. I talked about mercy earlier as a precursor because I knew we were coming to this. And then here, Zechariah does it too. He says, the tender mercies of Lord? No. Most High? No. Tender mercies of our Theos, our Elohim, our mighty, powerful, don't mess with him, he'll crush you, God. And yet that God with that status, that ability, also has tender mercy? Oh, that's the combo meal I want. I'm just going to order the same thing every time through the drive-thru. I want tender mercy and almighty power together. That's a good experience. Whereby because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Man, 40 verses, it went like that. Okay? Never be scared of 40 verses. Now, what's wrong? I got to 68. I told you 68 several times. You got to 68. Nobody said a thing. Way too passive. Nate, give us our chart because they're going to freak out if they don't get it. All right? This is kind of fun. Here's names of God in Luke so far. Okay? We got the Lord, all capital letters. That's when they're referencing Yahweh. They pronounce it Jehovah, right? Because if you tried to pronounce Yahweh, that was a sin. You were not allowed to say the name of God, YHWH. We say it today because we realize it's not really a rule. They didn't, so they would say Jehovah. Know that those two are interchangeable when you hear them or run into them any place on the street. Okay, it's really fun when you run into Jehovah's Witnesses. I like to have a little fun. You're mispronouncing that. Be on good terms with them before you joke with them. And love them? Yes?
Yes.
Okay. I fear that my comedy might steer you the wrong way. No, we love them. We want to have fun with them. Because we want to get them to the real names of God and the real God. It's in Greek, in Luke, in the New Testament, it's translated as Kyrios, the God of covenant. It's the word we would use when he says, hey, who do I send? Say that sent me? Says, I am sent you. That'd be that Yahweh sent me, right? Now, we get to the next one, Adonai. That's one of the other Hebrew words that we would see in the Old Testament. It's translated as Lord, lowercase after the L. And it's translated in Greek in Luke to, wait, Kyrios? Wait, they're both translated to Kyrios? Oh, we're losing names of God when we translate into another language. Don't worry, that doesn't happen in English. I love that you caught that. We say God and Lord and Most High, we think it's all the same. No, we're meant to see a whole, more whole picture of who he is. Third one, Elohim, that's the big word. That's the first name you get of God in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 2, verse 24a. And God said, and God did, and God spoke, and there was. That's the Elohim. At least they changed this one from Kyrios. They translate this one in Greek in Luke to Theos. You know anybody named Theo? Now I love this. In Luke, because he starts chapter 1, verse 1, he says, most excellent Theophilus. Oh, that's like a big fancy name. Nobody names their kid that anymore, which is sad. You know what it means? Elohim of love. Who are the Niners playing today? The Eagles? No, wrong name. Philadelphia. What's the city of? Brotherly love. What's the phila? Love. Right? Theophilus, Phil, love of God. He's writing to the guy and he's like, bro, you need to know where your name comes from. It's so great. Last one, El Elyon, God of highest God. Do you see the double L, El Elyon? It's most high. In Greek, it's hypsistos, and you're gonna see that very seldom. That's the least common one. All right. Now, this is a fun little chart. I hope you copied it, because I'm never printing it for you. Joking. If you want a copy of that, we can make you a copy. Okay. I have one over here. It has gum on it. So, fun way to look, and why all the different names of God? Because at least in this section, we have an opportunity to look into blessing. Peek behind the curtain. Well, how does blessing work? What does it mean to be blessed? Or for someone to call you entitled blessed? It's a little hint as to the difference between blessed or blessed, right? One's a title, one's a verb, one's a noun. So how do we find blessing? Well, let's find out where does blessing come from? And we get a hint of that when the confession of Mary. Blessed is she who did what? What did she do to get blessed? Remember? First filling, Nate. We're getting to the first filling. Blessing comes from belief. Sometimes. One of the ways it comes. Does it always come from believing? Nope. Can God act beyond your belief? Yes. Okay, that's the easiest way. That doesn't always come from belief, right? Does it come from belief for sure sometimes? Yeah, absolutely. We got a couple examples here. What do you need to believe? You want a blessing in your life? What do you need to believe about it? Serious question. This is the interactive portion of the morning. Welcome to Rock Bible Church. If you wanted to be blessed, what's the primary thing you would need to believe about that projected, wanted blessing? I love that a bunch of people use God in some way, in some kind of sentence to answer that question. You have to believe that God's involved. Creator, how about this one? Curator, managing it, right? Sustainer, right? All those things that God has a will to it. You know, if you're around and you have a desire for something, how'd you get that desire? Well, desire comes from the sin of the flesh. No. Sin comes from when we twist a desire of our flesh. Why do you have desires of the flesh? Because sometimes I get hungry. Right? So being hungry, is that wrong? No. But is it possible to be a glutton? Well, of course, God, look at you, all right? Come on. It's when we take the desires he gives us and misappropriate them, misuse them, twist them, overindulge them. If you have a blessing that you want, who gave you the desire for that blessing? Oh, you're in partnership before knowing it. Now, the trick is, how do you acknowledge him in that desire for whatever blessing you want and engage with him through that? Sometimes it's shut up. Wait. Sometimes it's be super active. Sometimes it's cut something out of your life because it is hindering you. It's roadblock. Sometimes it's get around somebody who can be an assistant or help. Sometimes it's you need to get off your own belly gazing and go serve somebody. Give some mercy and gift to another person. Because what should be paired with belief? This is not in your feelings this morning. This is your Sunday morning extra. What should always be paired with belief? Action. Belief is a noun. It's kind of a verb. But we really want some verbs when we believe. Now, good news. You're already doing it. Wait, how am I already doing it? You're here. You're sitting here. You keep showing up at church. It's the weirdest thing. I get up here every Sunday and I look and people keep showing up. I'm like, why do they keep showing up? I'm not that good. I get tired of me. And I like me. Why do you keep showing up? A belief? Somebody said donuts. I get a free meal when I show up. Because some of you believe what the scripture says, you shall not forsake the assembly of the body as some are in the habit of doing. Why do people turn on online every Sunday at 10 o'clock? It comes on, they get a notice, they turn it on and they watch. Why? It's a belief that I need to be connected to God and that time spent with him will pay off in some way and lead to a, what's the topic of the morning?
A blessing.
And belief has to be paired with action. Amen? All right, you can see it in 45 and 63. There's other places, but those are the only two I gave you today. If blessing comes from belief, what's the delivery mechanism? Can you order that on Amazon? Have a truck drop it off? Can I have it by 4 p.m. today? Blessing is, could it be delivered by an angel? I mean, kind of could, right? How do you experience it? How do you experience blessing? Zachariah says it. Something to the effect of, oh no, Mary says it. She who is blessed, what's our verse? 45, right? There it is. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a, she believed not just that she needed to act, but that God would act. So the first one is we believe and we act. That's on us. The second one is on God, that God's going to fulfill something. The delivery mechanism sometimes for blessing is fulfillment. Which how many of us get to do? How many of us get to fulfill blessing? Crickets. Drop a pin. God does fulfillment, amen? Now, he lets us experience it. And I tell you what, there's very few ways to know blessing more than when he fulfills something in your life. Delivers you. Let you bring your kid home from the hospital. It's so real now. Wait, did I sign up for this? This is a blessing, and now I'm going to be serving for at least 18 years, paying for 25, maybe 26. I don't know. We're still tallying. That's not so funny as some of you think it is, right? The ones that are laughing are the ones that have kids under 10 years old. Blessing is delivered by fulfillment, amen, and God has fulfilled it in the most ultimate way. Greatest blessing is that what Zechariah acknowledged is that he would come for the forgiveness of sins. Rather than all the other blessings you have urges and desires for that he's going to maybe continue to work out in your life, the one, the big one, the most important one, solved, done, past tense, completed action. It is why we can root for the Bears or the Packers or the Traitors. Because it doesn't matter. Ultimately, what matters has been solved. You can have fun in the secondary stuff. Amen? Amen. Amen. Last one. Third one. Here we go. Blessing comes from belief. It's delivered by fulfillment. And blessing is, well, when you get blessed, and it's confirmed, you've been blessed. What do you feel like doing after you bless? Celebrate? Right? One way. Praise God. We saw that. Right? When you praise God, after you've been blessed, you're like blessing God back. And what is it? Blessed be God most high. Right? So when you are blessed, you want to give it back. When somebody gives you something and you send it back, what did you do? Like Amazon package shows up, it's not yours. You say, hey, I'm sorry, I need to. Blessing is returned to God by, how do you say it again? There's two ways to say it. By the blessed. Those who are blessed, truly blessed, and acknowledge it, they return blessing. And who do they return blessing? They go help their spouse? Well, yes. But ultimately, what's the most important one? You want to return blessing to God. And I made a joke earlier. Why do you keep coming to church? Acknowledge God. We call it worship and praise. Sometimes we get confused. We think that's the songs that we sing, or that we just listen for the whole time that Scott talks and we don't leave early. That was me worshiping. It's not any of those. It's a head and heart condition. So we saw both Mary and Zach experience. And the more they believe, the more they act on it, the more they follow his will, look for his will, assume that there would be a fulfillment of what was said, the more they get to experience. Amen? There's a guy in the desert, and he came across this well. He's in the desert, so he's thirsty. And he finds a well, sand everywhere. One little wood shack, opens the door, steps inside, well. Cool, I can maybe pump some water. Even better, there's a jar, little jar, with water in it, right next to the well. Now, if you're Scott, you got two options. Pump water, or there's a jar of water. What do you do? Remember, you're Scott. Drink the water. Yeah, there we go. Right? There's a note. The note says, hey, drink the water if you like, but if you want even more water overflowing as much as you want, instead of drinking the water, pour the water into the pump to prime it and then start pumping. Now, this is Scott's second attempt at decision making. What does Scott do? I'm drinking the water. I'm not pouring the water out into the pump. No way. The smart one, the theological one, understanding the analogy that we're doing, returns the water back to the pump and then starts pumping. Now, is it going to immediately give you water on your first pump? How many times? There's an official answer to this, by the way. How many times do you have to pump a pump before you get water? Too many. Too many times. It's, no matter what, every pump I've ever had to deal with, it always, like, even just starting a squirt gun with the Windex, right? And we get like, hey, I got to, like, three, four. Oh, now it's finally going. It's an act of faith. Our relationship with the Lord is the same. And it will always be a better payout than your favorite sports team. Remember that tonight. Whatever team you root for. That the greatest thing we root for is God. Amen? Is the Lord. Amen? Capitalized or only first letter capitalized in Lord? Both. All right. What about Lord God? Him too? Yeah, they're all the same. Let's spend as much time with the Lord and all of his names to understand him even more, that we might have a better experience. And B, what's the subject for the day? Blessed. Amen? Amen. If you never decided this, if you've never poured water into the pump and said, okay, God, I'm going to start working on this, and you're going to work it, and I want everlasting water. I want a sustained, long-term, healthy, safe, serving relationship with you. I want forgiveness of sins. I want to experience the cross for its intents and purposes. That's yours today. You can say it however you want. You can come meet with me after. I'll pray with you. Or you can pray right now. Lord, you're Lord from this day forward. But that's the decision we're meant to make. You pray with me? Lord, thank you for blessing, that you are a God that cares, that even an Elohim can have tender mercies. We're so grateful for the experiences that we get to read about Mary and Zachariah, Elizabeth. Pray, Lord, you'd help us to have those same kind of experiences. And yeah, we believe, Lord, that there'll be growth and there'll be blessing. Pray, Lord, that we would all get beyond that to experiencing you, being close, intimate with you. And that is the equation that brings joy to all things in life. May we be that church. May we be those people. May I be that pastor. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive, Lord. Pray you would bless it and bless us, because we found out today that you're in the business of blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us a few minutes and we'll be back in here. We're going to have a little family meeting. Go over some big truths to last year, this year, where we're going, all that kind of stuff. Even going to let you ask questions and get a little fill-in for you if you want to make suggestions, stuff like that. May you be blessed and blessed. Amen. 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 Go with him.